First Peter chapter 1. Let's start at verse number 3. And Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Precious Lord, we thank you. Father God, we thank you for a joy that's unspeakable. Can't even explain it to a lost world why we love a God whom we have not seen. But Father God, we know what's in our heart. We know what's in our soul. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So our souls say, "Pastor, preach the word of God to my soul this morning.
Yes. Yes.
Feed my heart, feed my soul.
Yes.
Feed me, Lord. And I'll give you praise and I'll give you honor because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen." I just sit back and teach it on faith and preaching all these messages on faith. It puts me in a rejoicing mood. I've been really, really, my spirit has been elevated, it seems like, over the last month or two. Just talking about faith. What God has done and what God's doing in the life of his people. The us, I call it. I like that. We're going to get to that. But here's Peter. Here's Peter. What better person to talk about faith than Peter? Somebody say, "Well, Abraham was the father of faith." Well, if Abraham was the father of faith, Peter should be at least the son of faith. Because Peter had faith in God. Peter had faith in Jesus, and honestly, this whole week I've been talking about preaching on Peter stepping out of the boat, stepping out onto water, that great act of faith, which Jesus called little faith. But Peter seen Jesus walk on the water, and he said, "If it be thou, call me, and I'll come walking too." Peter had that kind of faith. Peter has such great faith that Satan knew he had that kind of faith. And Jesus said to Peter, "Satan desired to have you. He called me and asked about you, Peter." How about that? "That he may sift you like wheat." I met some folks over the years who had faith, great faith at one time, and not being understanding, not being vigilant, not paying attention, Satan comes in and does what? Does a sifting job. Does a sifting job. And many of you probably know people like that too. Talk to them and they're full of love for the Lord, love for the Lord. They're working and serving God. And then you see them a year later, 2 years later, they've been sifted. Not singing no more, not praising God no more, not reading the Bible no more, not praying no more. Peter, when Jesus asked the disciples, he said, "Whom do Who do men say that I am? Peter didn't give any other disciples even a chance to say nothing. Okay? Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Living God. Now Peter is teaching. Been through a whole lot. God told Peter, before the night is over, and I'm paraphrasing, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter said, "I'll never do that. I'd never do that. I'd die first." And Peter heard the cock crow the 3rd time, and by then he was already mourning and weeping. God knew that. And when he rose from the dead, the first thing Jesus said is, "Go tell Peter." And Peter. And then when God met Peter on the shore, he asked Peter 3 times. He said, "Peter, do you love me? Be my sheep." He said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs." He said, "Peter," and Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." Peter been feeding ever since.
Amen.
These sheep are in trouble now. They're under Nero's rule, and Christians are being persecuted. Christians are being tortured. Christians are being used as candles at parties, cast out to the lions. And Peter's preaching to them. And Peter preaches this sermon. I don't know if it's a sermon, but Peter's trying to give them encouragement. And I know all of us need it. We can sit here and I'm going to say, how many here need some encouragement? And we all need some encouragement. And somebody might say, "Well, why do you think we're here, Pastor? We're here for some encouragement." I hope so. Peter says in verse number 3, 1 Peter 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." How about that? Why is Peter saying he's blessed? Blessed. In Peter's eyes, God was blessed. He was a blessed man. Watch what he did. Watch what he says. "Which according to his abundant mercy." How about that? "Abundant mercy he hath begotten us." How about that? I'm going to tell you what the "us" mean in a minute. Okay? "He hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, we touched it a little bit in Sunday school. Listen, for there's no faith, there's no heaven. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, we all men most miserable. But Peter had an understanding of the Word of God. Now he's teaching. He says, here's how you're saved. If you're saved in here, here's how you were saved. By God's abundant mercy. Abundant mercy. Pastor, what is mercy? What is mercy? I heard somebody say it earlier. God not giving us what we deserve.
Amen.
Nobody's born deserving to go to heaven.
Amen.
Nobody's born right with God. You hear somebody say, "Well, I've always been a Christian." You know, you've always been a liar too. Okay? Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, "Master, I know you're a member of God, because no man can do these things." He said, "Nicodemus, stop right there. You must be born again." Okay? No matter what nobody tell you, nobody can tell you whatever. And I know this is hard for a lot of folks. This is a hard teaching. I understand. People say, pastors are stressed out, pastors are depressed. This is depressing stuff. Preaching is depressing. Some of the most depressed people in the world are pastors, and usually Sunday afternoon after they preach, because folks don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Okay? But everybody in heaven been born again.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody in heaven has accepted Jesus Christ, work on Calvary, has believed that he was born of a virgin, died on Calvary's cross, was buried, and rose on the 3rd day. Jesus, Peter says he's begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope. And what's our hope in? Our hope is in Christ's work on Calvary. Our hope is one day that we'll spend all eternity in heaven with the Lord. That's the hope. That's the believer's hope. And Peter calls it a lively hope. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you can rest assured that you have that hope. And maybe we won't meet here in January 21st. Maybe the rapture comes. That ain't a problem for the believer. That ain't a problem for the believer. I had Michaela all weekend. I said, Michaela, you ready to go to heaven? She said, not now. I said, you ready to go to heaven? She said, no, not now. I'm ready, but I ain't ready to go. Out of the mouth of babes. But Peter says you got an inheritance waiting for you. This is where he's going with this whole lesson. Okay? He said, you got a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. From the dead. Don't let nobody tell you. See, the Nazis say he wasn't dead. See, you take the word of God. And Peter says he was dead. And he was there. He was dead. Okay? The Nazis say, well, he was on a soul sleep. Okay? Well, it wasn't really him. It wasn't really him. They came and got him. Well, Peter says he was dead. He rose from the dead. But why did he rise? He rose for us. He rose for us. Watch this now. Verse number 4. To an inheritance incorruptible. How about that? An inheritance. How many know what an inheritance is?
Amen.
Okay? How many know what an inheritance is? It's something that you receive because of your relationship with a person who has passed away. Okay? Peter says it's an inheritance that's incorruptible. I was reading in the news about an attorney in Austin Town, and she had went to a lady's house, an older lady, and she was putting her inheritance together, putting her will together, and we found out that the woman had thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in shoeboxes all over the house. That inheritance was meant for her children. And that attorney took it. See, we had an inheritance that's incorruptible. How many know you get an inheritance and they can put a lien on it? Got to go through probate. And if you got some money, you got folks coming out of the walls. Mm-hmm. Siblings that are coming from everywhere. To hear the reading of the will. Jesus, our heavenly inheritance ain't like that. It's incorruptible. Nobody going to mess with it. No crooked probate judge. No crooked attorneys. No bad kids that you never even knew. No wife on the side. No mistress on the side. This inheritance that God has for the us.
Amen.
Okay? For the us. Okay? Somebody say, well who is the us? Y'all already know. See, the job of the preachers keep pushing it. Pushing it. Y'all already know who the us is. See, everybody ain't the us. The saints. Not the ain'ts. The saints. This inheritance is for us. Watch. The us. The redeemed. The redeemed. Somebody say, that's the redeemed one. Yeah, say so.
Amen.
The redemption is God's people have been redeemed. God's people, Jeremy was praying, God's people have had their sins forgiven.
Amen.
See, some folks think, you know, I can just walk around with this sin and die in it. You need to ask God to forgive you.
Amen.
Okay? These are the us. They have obtained an inheritance. Here's how Paul describes it in Ephesians 1. He says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What are spiritual blessings? What are spiritual blessings in heavenly places? He gave you the gospel. Gave you the word. Gave you the faith to believe. Gave you the faith to understand. Gave you the ability to understand. Now, people say, well, I don't know if I understand enough. You understand enough. You might not understand as much as Charles Spurgeon, but you better understand this. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave.
Amen.
Okay? You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You know, God gives you the ability to understand those things. That's why he says, forbid not the children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. You got childlike faith. You believe the scriptures. You understand truth. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I like that. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. True Christians, the us of Christianity, are those who have what? Believed. Believed. Those who have believed have had their souls, as Peter would say in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfaked love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart and be part of the us. You've been born again. What a question. Pastor, why would you ask somebody that? You need to ask people that. Ask them, you've been born again.
Amen.
See, we don't want persecution because we know people don't want to hear that. Because they know what you, they know where you're going. Have you been born again? I mean, one. I said that today about Noah. Noah got on with his three sons, their three wives, and his wife. That's it. What a tragedy. What a shame. What a tragedy. All the people in the world, all their cousins and nephews and nieces and all of them. And Noah preached righteous. They heard it. None of them got on the boat with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, how many would get on the boat with you? Sylvia, how many folks would get on the boat with you? Well, here we go. He says this inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away. How about that? Faded not away. It ain't going nowhere. It's not going to change. Okay? It's not going to change. Your inheritance is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. And you see the singleness of it. The personal, it's a personal relationship with God. The us people have it. The us people have a personal relationship with God. Okay? Cindy ain't right with God. She can't come with me. We go to the restaurant. Y'all been to the restaurant on the holidays? You go to the restaurant. The line all the way out the building. Somebody walk right up front. Why? They got a reservation. And folks will be boo-hooing. What's up with them? They got reservations. And see, you don't want to be in that line. You don't want to be in that line complaining because they was complaining. Because Lord, Lord. Don't want to be in that line. You want to make sure you have a reservation. You don't want to be sitting here waiting till the last minute. People say, well, but the thief on the cross, he waited till the last minute. What's two thieves on the cross?
Amen.
You don't want to wait till the last minute. You want to have your reservation in your hand. Like Margaret was just saying, January 21st, you might not be here. You better have your reservation.
Amen.
Better know where that's at.
Amen.
Okay, you better know where it's at. It should be easy to get to. Okay? It's an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Okay? For you. One person. Okay? It'd be different now. Jeremy and Vaughn, and both of you might get in the boat. In those days, well, they know they both believed. But the heritage is for one person. Okay? Watch this now. Paul had an inheritance. Here's what Paul says. Watch the eyes. Watch the my. Watch the me. Now, Paul usually don't talk like this. But in this situation, he's talking like this because he's trying to let Timothy know that having an inheritance, going into heaven, is personal.
Right.
Okay? It's a relationship that you have with God. Not with your pastor. Okay? Not with your church. With the Lord. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, watch this now. He said, I fought a good fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Okay? He said, I have finished, watch the eyes, I have finished my course. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have finished my course. I can't finish your course for you. I mean, if you get all the way there and you don't make it to the finish line, I can't finish for you. I can't come out and say, come on, man, finish. Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Somebody say faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Stay with me. And not only me. Okay? But unto all them also that love his appearing. What's that mean, Pastor? Love his appearing. Can't wait. Are you going to love them when God appears? Are you going to be embarrassed? Are you going to be traumatized? Are you going to be shocked? Are you going to be like, I didn't think you was coming back now. I was working on it. Okay? Me be like the one preacher. I was up to a funeral, and a young man had got shot and killed, and the preacher preached a message. He was like a prodigal son, and he just got killed on the way home. I'm sitting here like, that don't sound right. That don't sound right. You don't want to get killed on the way home. The story of the prodigal, he made it home. He got the ring, the fatted calf, and the robe put on him. Amen. That was a sign that he was okay. He was covered.
Amen.
I don't know. One of my youth got killed in a drug deal going bad, the last one on the south side, last Sunday. And I'm reading stuff, Don't add up. You need to be ready. Okay? Listen. What about my inheritance? This is the part I liked. When I start going verse by verse, and each one of these verses I can preach an hour on. And I'm going to just try to go through all of them. Stay with me. Hang with me. Look at verse 5. That inheritance is kept. Okay? You know what that word kept means? It means preserved. I mean, it is kept by a power like none other. Okay? It's kept. Bible says, who are kept by the power of God. Jude writing on this subject. He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Your inheritance, if you wanted it us, is kept. Is kept by the power of God. Here's our word, through faith. What do we need to be kept from? Whew. This is a long, long list, okay? But Paul writes this, and I'm going to talk about some of the things we need to be kept from. I can speak for myself. I need to be kept from some stuff. Okay? No. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many remember when we wasn't living with armor on? Okay? Some of us still dealing with stuff that happened to us while we were living without the divine protection of God. We weren't part of the us. What are the wiles of the devil? What's the wiles mean? Tricks? Ignorance? Does anybody need to be kept from their own ignorance? Some of us ignorance of certain things and ignorance of the things of God. We need to become knowledgeable of the things of God. How about pride? What's John saying? 1 John 2:16. All things in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. How many need to be kept from the power of lust that's in us? Somebody, well, you know, you ain't old enough. All I got to do is turn on the news, and I'm watching old men messing with little kids and stuff. And I'm sitting here like, wait a minute now. And I said this on Wednesday night. You know, for somebody to risk everything, taking pictures and put them on the internet for kids, about little kids, there's got to be a high demand for it. There's got to be a whole lot of people out there like little kids for somebody to risk everything to produce that stuff. Kept from our own imaginations. Anybody got stuff going through their mind? Some of you got stuff going through your mind right now. And if you acted on it. I'm making sense, Jeremy. Deacon. Satan has gone after all God's men and women. They're not one in the Bible Satan didn't go after. Okay? Got a whole list here. He went after Job. How about that? He went after Job. Poor Job. Killed his family. Took all his money, all his wealth, killed his family, killed everything, destroyed everything, took his wife, everything. Wife didn't take her, but she got on him. She said, Job, you've been through enough. Mm-hmm. You've been through enough. Let me rephrase that. Because I really believe this. Okay? You become one flesh. So I believe Job's wife said, we've been through enough. And people say, well, you know, Job's wife, you know, she wasn't no good. She, let me tell you something, folks. Y'all be careful how you treat Job's wife. Because some of you lost one baby. She lost all hers. Overnight. She lost all her babies. She lost her husband. She lost all her wealth. And she lost everything. And she just said, listen, enough is enough. Okay? She said, it's enough is enough. What more is it than just us left? And she said, curse God and die. And everybody jump on her for that, but everybody forget how much she went through.
Yeah.
Okay? Some of you lose the contact and go crazy. I'm a cop. I say that now because I got the surgery. But you understand what I'm saying? And here's Job, and here's Peter, and here's Abraham. Abraham has some issues. Satan got after Abraham. Remember Abraham? Think about this. Abraham got a good looking wife. Okay? They walking down, they going down, they run into some folks that say, hey, he got a good looking wife. And Abraham knew what their plans was. He said, listen, honey. I'm gonna tell them you my sister. I can't imagine telling Cindy that. Just to save his own skin. Think about Daniel. Wait a minute, go back to Abraham. God kept Abraham, didn't he? He kept Abraham. He kept Abraham. And you won't hear Abraham bragging about that situation. He's the father of faith, but he lost his faith then. You think, how many here think when Daniel came out of lions then, what do you think Daniel did? When he went in there with them lions and he came out, what do you think he did? Do you think he came out of there and said, see, I'm untouchable? No, he came out of there and thanking the Lord. He thanking the Lord for keeping him. And see, some of us have walked out of Lion's Den, and came to church and thanked God and don't see him no more. Lord, get me through this mess and I'll be all right. What about your Hebrew boys? Come out of the fire? You think they come out of fire? What did they tell Nebuchadnezzar before they went in there? If it's God's will, he keep us. Not, so be it. How about Joseph? So we need to be kept from some of this stuff. How about Joseph? Now, I remember the story of Joseph, Potiphar's wife. How many think she was ugly? She probably was the most beautiful woman in the land, and she coming after Joseph. How did Joseph get away? You think Joseph got down in the jail and all them prisoners down there, and he was telling them, man, I'm down here because Potiphar's wife wanted me to sleep with her and I refused to. You think he's down there because I'm so moral and I'm so upright? Uh-huh. Now that wire didn't come out of his mouth. Okay? He said, God gave me the strength to run. How about that? How many here need strength to run for something?
Amen.
How many here need the strength that Joseph had to run for something?
Amen.
And then some of us looking back and say, well, you know what? I didn't have the strength to run. That's why I'm in the mess I'm in.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Okay? But see, God's going to keep us. To us. God's going to keep us. He said, who are kept by the power of God. Now, how are you kept by the power of God? How are you kept by the power of God? See, we say it all the time. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you get the power of God's got to be in you.
Amen.
When these situations come up. And even with the power of God in you, you're still going to battle. Man, I'm telling y'all something. This people say, well, you know, it being a Christian and all that. Well, let me tell you something. You get the power of God in you. You get the power of God in you. You get the power of God working in you. And you'll be able to deal with some things. But I gave you a list of some of the greatest men in the Bible. And they still struggle. Okay? Watch the rest of this. Watch the rest of verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Kept. Preserved. Through faith unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me tell you something. Stay in your word. Stay prayed up. Stay studied up. If you can't make it to Wednesday night, find you something. There's good preaching out there. There's good Bible studies. You got these phones and turn the TV off, put it on your phone. And just get you a Bible study. Get you some word in you.
Amen.
Get you some word in you. Okay? Turn it off. Sound like Teddy, didn't I? Turn it off. See, you gotta turn off some stuff. And you ain't gonna get with God. And every time the phone make a noise, you stop praying and see who texting you or see who friended you or something. You got to turn that stuff off, get on your knees, and say, God, I need the power of God working in my life. Give me the faith to do it. Because it's His faith. Don't let nobody tell you, well, you know, I depended on my faith. If you depend on your faith, you're going to fail every time.
Amen.
You don't have no faith. It's God's faith. So God, give me your faith to deal with this thing, to deal with this life. Okay. By the power of God, which worketh in all of us. And then what does it do for the believer? To us. Okay? It gives us the strength to do God's will. And that's what God saves us for. God saved us to do His will. He didn't save us so we can do what we want to do. That's hard for you. That's a hard lesson. But God saved us to use us. To use us. I'm moving pretty good. Better than I thought. Ready to be revealed. Ready to be revealed. I had this story. My niece, I had a house full of folks. And my niece came up. Brianna. I don't know if y'all know Brianna. And Brianna, she don't walk around claiming to be saved and all that. But my brother-in-law, the one that been to heaven. I didn't say that. And he got some health issues, okay? His knees is bad, and he got some health issues, and they were sitting there sort of going back and forth, you know. And she said something so profound. And I'm just listening because I don't, you know, I just was just listening. And she says, Ain't that what's supposed to happen? You get old, your body starts deteriorating, and you die and go to heaven. I'm sitting here listening to that, and I'm like, y'all understand what I'm talking about, right, Claire? You understand what I'm talking about, right? Is anything happening to Rita? Is anything happening to you by surprise? As we get older, these bodies will start deteriorating. And really, for the believer, and what I try to instill in you guys, these are just signs for us to do what? To get ready. Okay? To get ready. The aches and pains and arthritis. I got fibro down here. Back problems, blood pressure, sugar, all this stuff is signs. God has given us signs that, you know what? You need to be ready. Okay? Y'all hear me? At the funerals I preach all the time, I always got to put it in there because I don't think people hear. I say, you know, you got the Vaseline. How many took a shower this morning and didn't put on no oil? Or no Vaseline? Son, you put on something on your feet or your hands. Why? Because if you don't, what's happening? They drying up. And what's that doing? Your body is drying up. Ashes to ashes. Okay. So she said that. And they called them all off guard. And you got a little quiet in there. They got a little quiet in there. I'm sitting here like, go ahead, girl. Because it's just the truth. Amen. It's just the truth. Okay. And we're going to stand before the Lord. And these bodies going to deteriorate. And they're going to deteriorate. Okay? And they're going to deteriorate. But ain't nothing wrong with deteriorating. Ain't nothing wrong with getting ready for a great, great vacation. Some of y'all been on vacation. You got to pack up stuff, you know? Got to make your reservations. We going somewhere wonderful. Who want to stay here any longer? I mean, I'm not sitting here. I don't know. I don't have no Kool-Aid out in the hallway or nothing. I'm just like, who want to stay here? Who want to go through this again? Who want to do any more of this? Think about it. This world going crazy. I sit here and I'm going to look at my little grandbaby. I'm like, oh Lord have mercy. I don't even want to think what it's going to be like when you get 35. Man, it's going to be crazy. Can you imagine? 35 more years, what's it going to be like?
No.
Can only imagine, huh? Don't even want to think about it, huh? Wherein, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. Why? Because you have the salvation, you have the power of God working in your life, and that's reason to rejoice. No, not reason to rejoice, but greatly rejoice. The moment you get saved, this is what the lesson was talking about today. Noah was so grateful, and he got off the boat, and he built an altar. He didn't have to be told to build an altar. He was thankful because God had saved him.
Amen.
In the art of picture of salvation, in the moment you get saved, you know what? It's so sad to see saved folks so miserable. So, just long-faced. Listen, hey. Saved. And I thank God. I look forward to it. I get so fired up getting ready to teach on Wednesday, getting ready to do Sunday school, and the priest, I'll be like ready to go. Because it might be my last time. I got that Stephen complex. I don't know. Preach it like it's my last time. I don't know if that Sunday guarantee.
Amen.
Okay. I don't know if it's guaranteed for me or guaranteed for you. Okay. So I'm going to preach like you need to hear it. I don't know. All of us in here got some sickness in us.
Amen.
Okay, all of us in here got cancer cells floating around. All of us in here got blood that could clot up at any time.
Amen.
Folks leaving here. Okay? Amen. And I hear people leaving here a whole lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm reading a story about a man riding down the street and the tire flew off a truck. Gone. See? Stuff like that. Peter says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for season. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
The season you're going through. Season, if need be, you are in heaven and through a manifold. It's just a season. How many know high school football season over? One more game.
Amen.
Them kids started out practicing. They got band camp. And they going to practice in the band, a cheerleader. And guess what? It's over. It's over just like that. 36 more days. 36 more days. And we in 2019. What a season. What a season 2018 was. Okay? It's over. And you know what? Billy Graham died in 2018. He was 99. And you know that 99 years went so quick. Edwin Hawkins died last year. 74. Season. He had a season that lasted. Okay? Aretha. Barbara Bush. Michael Jackson's dad died. Think about it. We remember when the little Jackson 5 were little kids singing. Honey, Nancy Sinatra died 2018. I just went through a list. Burt Reynolds. Telling our AC. It's an old crowd in here. I said our age. But it's just a season. That's my point. It's just a season. For a little time.
Amen.
Just a little time. That's what James said. It's just like a little vapor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, I said this. I'm gonna share with you guys that went here Thursday. You get a roll of toilet paper. Life is like a roll of toilet paper. Now this one everybody gonna remember. And every time you go to the bathroom use the toilet paper, you're gonna think about this sermon. So this one is gonna stick with you. So you go on the toilet paper, you got a roll of toilet paper. Now, a lot of places they glue the first part of it. So you got to work to get it going. And then first start off slow. But once you get down to a little bit, it starts rolling fast. And that's how life is. Start off slow. You hear kids can't wait. I remember the little glory. Oh, I can't wait till I'm 16. I can't wait till I get my driver's license. She's driving now. You understand how fast life is? It's like toilet paper on the road. It's like toilet paper. Paul. And Peter, where are you what? Greatly rejoicing. Come on, man. If you saved in here, I'd sit there and talk to Cindy. I say, Cindy. We gotta get up and start singing hymns. We don't call them hymnals. We gotta get up. We gotta rejoice. We gotta praise the Lord. Okay. We sit down. Jeremy sit down. Got the book on the side. Blessed assurance, Jesus.
All right.
I'm like, come on, man. You've been saved. You've been born again. You filled with the Holy Ghost. If you died, if somebody came in here and started shooting them up, shooting us all up, and the bomb wasn't able to pick them off, we still going to heaven. See? People are all and poor people die in church. What better place to die? Who? What Christian don't want to die on Sunday in church?
Amen.
Come on, man. Y'all sit here and say, no, I don't want to die. I want to die at Burger King. I want to die at parking lot of Chick-fil-A. No! You want to die? You want to be in church when the Lord comes. Praising the Lord. You want to be praising the Lord when the Lord comes. Thanking Him. Greatly rejoicing, though manifold temptations. Somebody said, what's a manifold temptation? Listen, you keep living and God and Satan is coming at you every day. Every day. Every day Satan's coming at you, but guess what? Greater is He that is within you than he that's in the world. What our battle is the Lord's. Okay?
Amen.
And the Lord is fighting all our battles. And our faith will constantly be on trial. How many of you watch these movies? I'm sending them to watch the Law and Order. Come on. You see all these trials? Your faith, the Bible says that the trial of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Verse 7, that the trial of your faith. Your faith is going to be questioned. And it may be charged with something. But guess what? It's going to be dismissed. When they find out that the judge is your attorney's father, they'll say, that's dismissed.
Uh-huh.
That's dismissed. That's the Smith where you're going to stand on trial. Okay? That the trial of your faith, watch this now, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's Paul's Peter talking about? He's talking about this trial. The world will put you on trial. The world will put you on trial just like a man, if he's trying, he's testing that gold, and he puts it through the fire. Find out what? What's he trying to find out? When he come out of the fire, he's trying to find out what's his... That's right. You got a gold bracelet? And you need some money? You go to Vegas, you lose all your money, you start looking at your jewelry and stuff. And so you go to the jeweler, and he'll tell you exactly what. He'll tell you what it's worth. He'll tell you what it's worth. And see, when your faith go on trial, when your faith go on trial and your faith is put to the test and it is put under the fire, they put the heat on it, guess what? You'll find out what it's worth.
Oh, amen.
Okay? It'll burn up. You'll find out what you got with trials. That's why trials are good. See, folks don't like trials. You get these football teams and they play a lightweight schedule and they play all these chumps. And then they get to the big game and they get beat 50 to nothing. Why? Because they have not been tried. They have not been tested. Tested. When Job was tested, when they came out of it. Know what Job said? He said this in Job 23:10. But he knows the way that I take when he have tried me. I shall come forth as gold. Whew. How about that? How you gonna come out of it? You gonna face a trial. Okay? You gonna get a bad report. You gonna get a bad report. Okay? Sooner or later, you ought to be like David. You ought to sit here and you ought to plead with God. The Christian, the man of God, ought to plead with God. Why are you on this cycle? You want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready when the Lord comes. David, the king, David said this in Psalm 26. See, we don't like it. Only God can judge. Only God can judge. Let me tell you something. You ought to want people to judge you.
Amen.
You ought to want people to judge you. You ought to want people to try you. You ought to want people to question you. You ought to want people to examine you. What Christians don't want to be tested and examined? Called out. See, you know why? Because it's self-righteousness and pride. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, you got a milk dud head or whatever. I hear that stuff. Inmates call me all kind of names. What am I going to do? Quit my job? Because you've been tested all the time. Leaving early. I hear people leaving early. Well, he called me a name. David said this in Psalm 26. Watch this now. This beautiful stuff. He said, Lord, examine me. Oh, Lord, and prove me. And try my reins in my heart. Come on now. No, reins are, try my affections. Test my affections. See if they're pure. See, we don't want to be tried. We don't want to be tested. We don't want to be questioned. You know, you can't judge me. I can see people walk. Only God can judge me, church.
Uh-huh.
Come on now. That ain't in the Bible. Tupac wrote that.
Uh-huh.
Only God can judge. Listen. Okay, Tupac, how's that working for you? You see, God can judge, and God's people are to judge. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says we are to examine everything.
Yeah.
Test everything. The Bible says in 1 John 5, we ought to try the spirits. By the Spirit, we ought to test and examine. Okay?
Yeah.
Test and examine. Go buy a new car? What you going to do?
I can't judge.
Whatever the man come out with, here, take this car. It's only got 300,000 miles on it, but, you know, give me 10,000. Well, you know, I can't judge. Tupac told me I can't judge. See? We judge everything.
Yeah.
You meet a guy, First thing you ask is, you tell them where you work. And we don't, where you work? We ought to ask them, you know, where do you serve God at? But we ask them, what kind of work you do? What are you doing? What are you doing? Judging? Trying them? Testing them? Why? Because if he don't got no job, the relationship can't go no further than that. That's how it used to be. Let's keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to get people. Let's cover this last verse. This is a fascinating one. That's a fascinating one. Talking about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Okay. John, in John 20:29, remember Jesus came back, because he's a God of mercy, God of grace. Thomas didn't see Jesus the first time. The disciples said, Jesus here was here, you wasn't here. Thomas said, unless I see him with my own eyes, unless I put my fingers in the hands and my hand in the side, I will not believe. Jesus came back because Jesus loved Thomas and wanted him to be saved. And he said, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they what? Who have not seen yet believe. Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why do we hope for? Hope that is seen is not hope. When the thing hoped for is seen, it then ceases to be an object of hope. So Peter's saying to these people, and they're getting frustrated because they're going to persecution. They're getting frustrated. Persecution will frustrate you. And Peter says, listen, whom having not seen, ye love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I used to tell you the stories when I worked at General Motors. Every lunch break, these folks would go over there. And they get there. Every time they get a break, every time that line shut down, the Christians would get a little group together and they start reading their Bibles and praying, and they would invite everybody over, and you know, you would just walk way around, you know, because they was over there. Come on over here, you need some prayer, brother. You need some prayer. And I didn't know, because I was stupid back then, and I didn't know how bad I needed some prayer. And I'd voice them. I said, look at them old crazy people over there. I ain't going near them. And they have free coffee, and I love drinking coffee. And I said, oh, if I get that coffee, I gotta get a track, and they're going to tell me about Jesus, and they're going to tell me I need Jesus, they're going to tell me I'm a sinner, and I don't want to know that. I didn't know that. I thought I had it together. I was working at General Motors. I was doing good. I thought I was okay. See, that's how we get tricked. Okay. But see, here's the thing. You rejoice. With a joy, what? Unspeakable. You ever tried to tell someone why you love Jesus? Tell a heathen, tell a lost soul why you love Jesus. Try to tell them. You can't even think of the words to say. Because they think you're crazy. When you tell me you believe in a God that you have not seen, whom having not seen. You love? You may tell him you love Jesus? Where he at? How you gonna love something you don't see? That's not a world thing. You can't touch. You can't see. When you giving your money to it? And you always talking about happy in Jesus, and you're going to choir rehearsals, you're going to Bible study, you always read the Bible, and you wear hats, and you wear all them church clothes, and you can't explain that to nobody that's lost. You can't explain your faith to a lost person. It's unspeakable. That's what he means. Joy unspeakable. Can't talk about it. Try it. Try talking to lost people about why you love Jesus. Tell a lost soul why you love Jesus. Give them your testimony. And some of us got wonderful testimonies. Dave's testimony ain't my testimony. They Claire's testimony ain't Margaret's testimony. But we all have a testimony. Yeah. Amen. God has blessed us all. And when we sit back and say, you know what? I was delivered from this, and God saved me from this, and God delivered me from this, and God gave me the power to get through this. And when you start talking that stuff, people look at you like, man, you must be from another planet. Who is this God? And you sit here and you know, I can't explain it to you. I can't explain to you a lost person because God has not enlightened you. Your eyes are still closed to the things of God, and it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. And some of you have been through it. Sit here and you sit here and you can sit here and talk to a person who's not been enlightened. And until God opens their heart and opens their eyes, they're not going to understand you. But then you ever deal with somebody and then they come back and they get saved. God saves them. God opened their eyes and now they see things and they understand. I understand. I can see. But that joy that you have, it's unspeakable. Sometimes I wonder if Cindy even understands what's going on in her husband's world. Okay. I wonder. And she'll see me. I'll come out to the church, stay out here. It's 5, 6, 7 hours just studying, just reading, putting sermons together. And I'm sitting here like, well, people think I'm crazy. I talk to other pastors and they don't have to do all that. They got high powered bands and musicians. Well, Paul, I'm finished. I'm about done. I think I get this far. Paul said this. Paul said a lot. It's hard for me to preach without talking about Paul. Let me give you one verse. It's unspeakable. To the natural man. And Paul says this. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Somebody fill in the blank. Foolishness. Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? Power of God. It is the power of God. We try to talk about the power of God to someone who's perishing. Remember I told you about the story, I told you General Motors people, they couldn't tell me nothing back then. But when God came into my life and God opened my eyes and gave me the ears to hear, them people, I'd have been right with them. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm closing. For it is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Let me give you 17, because we always do 16. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith.